our desire is for you to see that this is God's book and that God had a plan for us to have his inspired, preserved word for us in the English language, and that we don't have to doubt. And it saddens me when people want to make folks doubt about the Word of God. Yeah. There's somebody that at the beginning of the time has always been in the business of causing doubt. Amen. That's right. And that still is his business, is to say, well, I mean, are you sure? Are you sure? And I know as a young person, that happened to me in the area of salvation. And it wasn't a fun time. And so can you imagine if all your life you were unsure even about his words? And we don't have to be. We can be set and secure. So we're going to look at Psalm 119 tonight. So we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And maybe we'll read the last verse. That way when you tell people, you can say, you're not going to believe it. He went from the beginning to the end of Psalm 119 in a service. All right, you don't have to tell them that we skipped some. All right, but what we're going to read, verses 1 through 11. Notice what it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, thy word. Have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to read one other verse. That's verse 97. Fits with what we're going to talk about tonight. And it says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It's a story told about a teenager. And this is many, many years ago. If you read this story, and you can read the story about this young man. And this teenager left home to attend college. His mother worried about him, and so she gave him a Bible, and inside the flyleaf of the Bible, she wrote a scripture. The young man went off to college, soon discovered college life to be an endless series of parties, and spent all his time and money on fleeting pleasures. One occasion, he needed money for whiskey. And so he went to a pawn shop and he pawned that Bible that his mom had given to him for a bottle of whiskey. Eventually, he made it through college and he became a doctor. One day, this same man was respectfully known as Dr. McKay now. And Dr. McKay was, and he had a thriving practice and he was very well respected. And Dr. McKay was treating a dying patient. The patient kept asking for, hey, can you tell one of the nurses to get the book? Can you tell one of the nurses to get the book? After the man passed away, Dr. McKay noticed that the book that the man had was sitting there. And he couldn't believe his eyes. It was the very Bible that he had pawned, which was a gift from his mother. He returned to his office and grabbed that book and he started reading that Bible that his mother had given to him. Several hours later, he knelt on the floor and he accepted Christ as his Savior. He eventually became a preacher. And he wrote a song that we sing. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sin and hath cleansed every stain. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine glory. Revive us again. It's interesting what the Bible can do. The Bible has power that just is amazing. And that's why the devil fights so much. I was excited to see even the young people. I had one young man last night come up and he had his paper all filled out. And I asked him and I tried to back away because he's like, look it, Brother Dameron, I have it filled out. And I was like, you want me to grade it? All right. He didn't expect that answer. All right. But you know what? It's exciting when young people learn to love the Bible. Amen. You know, in the passage in Psalm 119, which just look kind of as introduction, look at verses 9 and 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Notice what it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Do you know that if we have a proper place of the word of God, it helps my flesh not to yield to temptation. Right in this passage, it's telling me that. Notice in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You know that without the word of God, my faith becomes weak. I gain strength. In fact, the Bible says that because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So as your relationship is with the Bible, the word of God, so will your faith strength be. So that's why some people, their faith is very weak. Why? Well, because the word of God. You say, well, that seems to be oversimplifying it. I'm not oversimplifying. What I'm doing is showing you from the word of God what the word of God can do. The word of God helps us in our temptations. The word of God helps us in our faith. It also keeps us close to him. So this evening, through Psalm 119, what I'd like to give you is 7 reasons why I love my Bible. Amen. 7 reasons why I love my Bible. Notice in chapter 119, but verse 25. Notice we already read it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Look at verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The first reason why I love my Bible is because my soul receives comfort from the word of God. Did you notice a word that was in there? It is the most time, if you study the word quick or quicken or quickening, the most times you will find it. Now, just so you know, when you're studying different things, it's also probably, it has the most chance of being in this chapter. All right. Why is that? There's 176 verses in it. All right. But when you study the word quick, quickening, all right, what you will find, it is found the most times in Psalm 119. So what is the Bible telling us? All right, and what does that mean? That the Bible's fast. All right, in fact, one of my favorite verses is the word of God is quick. All right, so it means that it wins every race. No. All right. It's quick. It means it's alive. It's alive. So the word of God has the ability to quicken me when I am down. All right, I forgot to mention this. So the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be in depression. All right, because I'm heading back to Delaware, and I really do love Southern Indiana. I really do. All right, and people are like, so do you like Delaware? I travel almost every other week. That's how I like Delaware. All right, that is the best way to appreciate Delaware is on the road. All right, but, hey, you're depressed. All right, so I'm going to be reading the Bible nonstop, all right, over the next couple. You'd say, well, but really, here you are, and you're hurting. All right, I guarantee that over the last couple of years, Pastor Ross, and some of the lonely times, some of the hard times. All right, yeah, it's nice to have friends, but I'm telling you, this right here means more than anything. A couple years ago, all right, I stepped away from pastoring. I moved to Dubuque, Iowa. I called it Dubucky. All right, so I moved to Dubucky, Iowa. All right, and I've told, me and Tom Brennan are very, very close friends. I moved there, and I was like, God, you got to help me. What's the next step? 5 minutes from the back door of the apartment that I rented, I could be on the Mississippi. And me and the Mississippi spent a lot of time together. And I was listening to the Bible, crying out to God, and just saying, God, I need you. I got to have you. And there was no other comfort. Man, I could sit with somebody, but it wasn't like the Mississippi. Just walking there and talking and saying, God, I got to have you. I need you. And you know what? The Word of God can bring that comfort that nothing else can do. And everything else will pull. All of us, we have the busyness of life. You have things that are pulling, but you have to be in this book in order to get the comfort, to get the quickening that you need. So my soul receives comfort. Look at number two, seven reasons why I love my Bible. First of all, my soul receives comfort. Secondly, look at verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Look at verse 69. Look at verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You say, so what is that? Why do I love my Bible? Well, because my soul receives comfort, but not just that. My conscience can be clean and clear. And you'd say, well, where do you see that in that passage? Well, you know, if you live long enough, you'll have somebody lie about you. You will. You'll have somebody say, and you're like, well, what do? I go to the Word of God. I read one of those imprecatory psalms where you're calling fire down upon their grandchildren. All right, gives comfort. All right. But you know what you find out during those, the end of those things? You find that he's trusting in God. God can handle it. God knows what's going on. It's not like he's not there in your life. And he can make sure that your conscience is clear and clean of anything. Because sometimes you start questioning, like, all right, really? Am I an idiot? All right, don't answer. All right, that is not the place to say an amen right there. All right? Am I an idiot? All right, did I really do something? All right, I guarantee when it's all coming down, you are going to start. You do question yourself. You do question, all right, did I slip up here? Did I do something wrong? But I can go to Scripture and I can say, God, you know my heart. And that's what I learned even walking on that Mississippi. You know what I learned? You know those imprecatory psalms and the other ones that David is calling out? I started understanding what it meant in the Word of God that David was a man after God's own heart and that God loved him. And I would say, why, man? I mean, David wasn't that great of a guy. And I'm like, God, all right, so I haven't killed somebody yet. I haven't done this. But you know what I saw as I studied the Psalms and studied David's life? David was very open with God. You know why some of your conscience is not clear? Because you're hiding things from God. It's just so you know, the Word of God and God, they see through it. You may think that, I've got it all covered. I got to cover it up. It's really dumb. You basically are like your three-year-old. All right? Well, I'm pretty sure there's chocolate on the side of your face. No, there's not. Like, yes, there is. No, there's not. All right, and I'm pretty sure you're, there's chocolate chip gooey on your, no, where? All right, that's the way we act, like a three-year-old. God sees it, the word of God is revealing it. Why not just be open with God? You know what I learned? I learned I could be open with God. God, you know what? I don't like this. I'd walk up and down the Mississippi. There was probably people thinking, crazy man. I'm like, God, I don't like this. I don't like what's happening. You got to show. You got to be real. You got and the word of God, I'm listening to the word of God. I'm trying to understand God. And guess what? God's like, hey, I got you. Right? You, and if I did something wrong, God, reveal it. Be open with them. And you know what will happen? God will reveal if your conscience is clear. That's why I love the word of God. Because ultimately, remember in Psalm 51? Even though all this wickedness, what did David ultimately find? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I've got to be clear with God. I've got to be clean between me and God. And the word of God is powerful enough, it's clear enough that it can reveal those things to you. You saw all the history. But this is what I ask you. To know all of that, and I talk with guys kind of in this subject, in the King James area, and also I love Baptist history, and I've studied that a lot. But what I've seen with some people, it's just a head knowledge. You know, you can know all of this. You can know all the facts. You can know all the history. You can understand what God has done and that blood was spilled so that you could have this book. But what good is it if it doesn't affect you? What good is it? The Bible is there, and I love the Bible because the Bible wants to be practical. And it wants to flow through my life. Why do I love my Bible? My soul receives comfort. Secondly, my conscience is clean. But then thirdly, look at verse 35 of Psalm 119. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Look at verse 59. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Look at verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. What are all those verses talking about? It's talking about steps and a path. So I love my Bible. Why do I love my Bible? Because my soul receives comfort, my conscience is clean, but then my path is directed. My path is directed. You unsure? Notice, it says aligned. Did you notice? Even some of the phraseology, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. It sounds like this guy's feet were going in the wrong direction. But the Bible was able, the Word of God was able to correct him. If you know a little bit about flying, in flying, they have basically an auto navigation system. And that auto navigation system, just a little bit of a degree. I one time did a graph. I was preaching an academy chapel, and we were talking about little sins. And so I found an illustration, and basically from L.A. to Boston, if you're just a little percentage off from L.A. to Boston, you end up in D.C. instead. And the illustration, I mean, you look at the trajectory and you're like, well, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure. Oh, it's not that much. But that's the way sometimes we are. And the Word of God, you get into the Word of God, and the Word of God daily should be, we should be feeding upon it. How do we know that? Well, because one of the illustrations that the Bible is called is daily bread. And even Christ used that illustration in John chapter 6 when he said, I am the bread of life. When he broke that bread, when he fed the 5,000, he gave the illustration of those children of Israel in the wilderness. And what did he tell them? Here was manna, and he was basically saying, well, that's what I am. I am the bread of life. And now we have, I believe, Jesus gave, he is the living word, and I believe this is the written word, and both of them work together. And daily I should be feasting on manna from heaven. And when I do that, it corrects me. It modifies me. It shows me the path of life. But are you following it? Are you aligning your life according to the Word of God? Again, it's not just the head knowledge. As we've been dealing with it all this week, we're trying to build, and we're trying to show you the Word of God has been given to you. But why? It's to direct your path. It's to help you day in and day out. Are you going to let the Word of God do its work? Let it guide you. Let it help you. Some Christians, I mean, you get saved and you go your own way. That is not what salvation is for. Salvation is something that was given to us. And so that here, even on this earth, yes, I get to enjoy heaven. But here on this earth, I can experience, in some sense, heaven on earth. How? Because I get to have the fellowship of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So many Christians are like, man, it just doesn't, why are you so excited? Well, because we can understand that the Word of God and the Spirit of God can direct us. It can guide our paths. So I love the Word of God. Why do I love the Word of God? One of the reasons is my soul receives comfort. Secondly, my conscience is clear or clean. My path is directed. Let's look at number four. My conduct is purified. Look at Psalm 119:101. Look at Psalm 119:101. Notice what it says here. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You know what? Why I love the Word of God? Because my conduct is purified as I'm in the book. My conduct is purified. Again, I say your relationship to the Word of God will also reveal the purity that you have. That's why some people, they get irritated at a preacher when they come in, and one of the first things he says is, hey, what's your relationship with the Word of God? It's always the Word of God. It's always the Bible. Well, because it is. Why are they asking that? Because if you're not in the Word of God, they at least, as a spiritual doctor, as somebody that is trying to analyze, right away they know, oh, here's one of the cures. Here's one of the things. Get you back into the Word of God. Why? Because it's amazing what the Word of God can do in cleaning out that system of wrong thinking, of sin. It helps us. And in this day and age, what amazes me is people are like, oh, it's just so hard. You know, I get up at this time and I do that. So you're saying there's not even a time when you're driving to work that you can't listen to the Bible? There's so many ways for us to be engaged with the Bible. I mean, there's free apps. There's all kinds of things where you can have the Bible around you all the time. But instead, I've got to have other filth around me. My conduct is purified. And when you do not want to have contact with the Bible, you want to check yourself. When you want to be distanced from the Word of God, you better check yourself. What's wrong? Why are you not listening to it? Why aren't you reading it like you should? We should be in the book. Because as we're in the book, it purifies it. It makes us holy. We're drawing to God. And I understand, right? Not every day are you leaping, and there's morning people, and then there's not morning people, all right? I understand that, all right? But if you have to, then, all right, read a little bit in the morning, and then in the afternoon read, then in the evening read. All right, but guess what we should do? We should, and also, there should be some discipline in our life. Do you know one of the evidences that the Spirit of God is upon you is what I, you know, we normally term it self-control. That's temperance. I like to use the term spirit control. And the reason is the evidence of the Spirit of God, we always say it's love and it's joy and it's peace and it's long-suffering, but we seem to miss that towards the end. It's temperance. And what's interesting is later in 2 Peter chapter 1, temperance is listed as one of the things that we're supposed to work on to add to our faith. And you can't do it alone. I've talked with enough young people. I've talked with older folks now. And I'm like, oh, it's just so hard. It's just discipline is hard. It's hard. Just so you know, it's hard for everybody. You are not an exception, right? There is not some special human being that was just plopped out from the stork, and all of a sudden he's like, I am disciplined man. No, guess what? All of us like to be lazy. Every one of us like to sleep in. Every one of us want to do less every day and get paid more. Okay? Every one of us. It's not like, well, I don't know. I don't know what it's like for him. It just seems like he likes to work. Well, maybe what he's done is he's been in the Word of God. He's let the Word of God purify him. He's put some spirit control in his life, and it's redone something so that the Spirit now says, get out of bed. Work at some things. Get in the book. So there are sometimes, yeah, man, I'm just not, it's not like it should be. You're not alone. Do you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You ever ask him, hey, I just need help. I'm just not, it's not on fire like it should be. The passion, it's lessening. Do you think the Spirit of God who dwells within you is like, eh, I'm busy right now. I've got like a million other Christians. Hello. All right. And when all of them aren't talking to me. I mean, they just irritate me all the time. They're like, can you help me here? And can you help? All right. I just want to leave them. All right. That's silly. All of us know that. Silliness. But that's what we act like. The Spirit of God has all the power. In fact, if you study the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8, and that's one of the passages you look at as far as the study of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, according to, I believe it's Romans 8, 11 and 12, was involved in resurrecting Christ. So the Spirit's power is available. And that power is the power to raise Christ from the dead, and he lives inside you. And the Spirit of God, so guess what's interesting? The Spirit of God, one of the things that the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8, it says that he does, it's the other passage that it's the second most used time. In Romans chapter 8, that the word quicken or quickening is used. and it's the Spirit of God. So guess what? In your study, remember, you study and you're studying words, you're trying to understand the Bible. So the Spirit of God quickens and the Word of God quickens. And what I found in studying the Bible is they work together. So the Spirit of God and the Word of God are there and they want to purify me. They want to help me every day, strengthen me. But the interesting thing is, and none of us would be like this if we were God. In fact, there's a group of people that don't believe God is like this. Right? But God gives you a choice. There's a group of people that don't think so. All right? God has predetermined everything. But God says, but it's up to you. It's up to you. You can actually quench, grieve, lie to the Holy Spirit. You can do that to the Word of God. You can push the Word of God aside. You can say, I'm not studying it. All of that takes work and effort. But let me ask you this. In other areas of your life, are you doing it? I would venture to say you probably are working, because guess what? You want to, all right, if you're a young man here or a young lady, all right, I'd like to play the piano a little better. I'd like to do this. I'd like to sing. I'd like to, maybe it's work. I'd like to be able to succeed a little bit. I want to have a little bit more money. So in those areas, you exert some energy and some diligence and some self-control. But when it comes to the Word of God and your spiritual life, you wonder why you're flabby. You wonder why, really, there's not a lot of strength and energy. There's not a lot of purity. Why is that? Because you're not allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do the work that He desires in you. My conduct is purified. Let's look at the fifth thing. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Notice when it says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Look at verses 98 through 100. Some of you younger people, you'll love this. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have, if you go through 98, sorry, verse 9, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 125, I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And then we read this verse on Sunday night and Monday night, and that's verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. So I love my Bible. Why? Because my soul receives comfort. My conscience is clean. My path is directed. My conduct is purified. My wisdom is increased. You see what it's saying? What is the Word of God doing? It's increasing. And this is what you'll find, and you already saw it just in the history of the Bible. In the history of the Bible, especially in the English side of it, yes, there was other places that there was the Bible, but as God was forming the English nations, they didn't have scripture in their language, in their native tongue. And because of that, what was it? We know this, the caste system. All right, you have the kings and the princes and the dukes and all that. And then you had the serfs. And what did they want, the serfs? They wanted them uneducated. They wanted to keep it that way. But it has always been those that were involved in Christianity. When Christianity comes in, guess what happens? They start building schools. They start teaching. You see that in the beginning of our nation, what did they want? They wanted schools. And you read all about that. But what is amazing to me, as we have gotten away from the Word of God, what has happened? It has been a decline and a decline and a decline in even common sense and regular education. Because the Word of God brings, I think, even mental liberty. That is amazing. It's just kind of a thing that happens. And wisdom will not happen without the Word of God. I'm so glad that as a young person, I had a youth pastor that told me, and I didn't listen to him much for a few years. But I remember when God got a hold of my heart and I started listening, he said, every day, pray for wisdom. Every day, look to Proverbs and study it. And I remember when I came to Bible college, I was still reading Proverbs. And then when I became a youth pastor, I started teaching and teaching and teaching on Proverbs. And actually, and you may know him, but Scott Hanks was near me. And he's written all kinds of mercy and truth ministries. And he has all kinds of devotional books. And he has Proverbs. We would sit and we would call each other because he was a youth pastor nearby. And we would meet at a Burger King. And we'd swap books about Proverbs. And just talk about Proverbs and talk about different things. Because it was still there. Because I wanted then our young people to understand how important it was to gain wisdom, and wisdom only comes by understanding and getting a deep-rooted love for the Word of God. Thankful for my youth pastor. I'm also thankful for a school teacher, my science teacher. My science teacher, he taught me earth science and geology, I remember geology, and I think it was biology. And I remember I had a study hall, and he was in charge of the study hall. And in 10th grade, coming into 10th grade, God had really gotten a hold of my heart, and I had a study hall with him. And he came over one time, and he was like, hey, so, hey, I noticed your Bible there. Maybe I could tell you a couple things to study. And he gave me my first concordance that slipped in the back of my Bible. And he would say, hey, so look at this. And that Bible, I started marking up like crazy. And he started a love for the Word of God. I would sit there and just be in awe because he would say, hey, so what about this and what about this? Because he loved the Word of God. I can still remember his Bible. He had it rebound, and it was one of the ugliest looking leather rebinds that I've ever remember. It was very dated, very odd looking. All right, but I can still picture all of that. And man, but that he would open it up and the pages were just so worn and marked up because he loved the Bible. And I thought, man, I wanna be someone like that. And I just thought, man, he is so wise. And why? Because he was in the Word of God. How much do you love the Word of God, and are you in the Word of God? Your relationship with the Word of God will also affect the wisdom you have. You step away from it, and you know what you'll start doing? You'll start making foolish choices.
Yes, sir.
You say, I just think that I need it. No, what does the Word of God say about this? Amen. Always going to the Word of God, basing my decisions and my life on the Word of God, it'll help you. Then, Psalm 119 and verse 111. This one I love too. 111. Notice what it says. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 165 all the way to 167. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. What does it sound like? Joy, doesn't it? And this is what I can tell you. I love my Bible because my heart becomes joyful when I'm in it. You can be down and you can be discouraged, but the Word of God can pull you out of that. How many times in our lives, in your life, have you tried to pull yourself out of that pit? Tried to, oh, well, you know what, I'll call a friend. And you got more depressed. I'll do this and get, or maybe a distraction. I've talked to some young people, and that is an out today. So, you know, you're having a hard time, and so you think, well, I'll just distract myself. And there's so many ways to distract ourselves today. It can be with a phone. It can be with maybe a show. It could be a different thing. And you say, well, I just need, and now it's a thing, oh, I just need me time. I don't even know what that means. All right, me time. All right. What you need maybe is the Word of God. And the Word of God can encourage our heart. It's just, it brings joy back. All right, and as you look at Scripture and you find people that basically they shouldn't be joyful. Most of us have studied the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul, who is sitting in prison. And what does he say often in the book of Philippians? Rejoice, I say. All right? Rejoice again, I say rejoice. We're like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean joy? You're sitting in prison. What did he find out? His joy was not determined by circumstances. His joy was not determined by what other people were doing. His joy was determined by his relationship with God. And as far as he was concerned, his relationship was with the words of God. And the words of God brought him comfort. In fact, he instructed, but most of all, bring me the parchments. Oh, well, what are you talking about? Oh, the scrolls, all right? Oh, yeah, didn't you know? All right, there was a great series of fiction writing that he wanted, and it was all written. It was all about the dragons and this. And he just was like, hey, while I'm in here in prison, I'd like to read about the dragons. All right, no, guess what? The parchments, I believe, was the Scriptures. They brought comfort. You know what? You can be joyful, and your heart can be joyful at these times. Lastly, let's look. So we said there's seven things. Let me review them with you. First of all, my soul receives comfort. My conscience is clean. My path is directed. My conduct is purified. My wisdom is increased. My heart becomes joyful. And then I love this one. Verse 133. Notice what it says. Order my steps and thy words, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Guess what happens when I love the Word of God? Sin's shackles are freed. Did you notice what it says? And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I get tired of people saying that it's impossible. I understand that. That's why I talked a little bit about that idea of temperance and self-control, because I really think people miss it. It's spirit control in your flesh. Even after you're saved, still dwelleth no good thing. But in Christ, and this is what you'll find in Ephesians, one of the phrases that is found often is in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And guess what later, remember the Pauline epistles, normally half and half. First half theology, and what you'll find in the first half is in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. The second half is the practical. And guess what Ephesians says? And I believe it's in Ephesians 5 that we're not supposed to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I think that in the Spirit and in Christ are almost synonymous when you study Scripture. It seems like sometimes I'm looking and I'm like, so in Christ, abiding in Christ, that's John 15. And John 14, 15, and 16 are all about my relationship with the Spirit. Like, oh, what is it? Guess what? Kind of both. You see, being in Christ and abiding in Christ and having the work of the Spirit of God, what happens is it's not me anymore doing this. It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It is Christ, the hope of glory. It is Christ through me that can free me from bondage. It is sad that a Christian would live in bondage. It is almost like a Lazarus. This is an interesting thought and concept. Remember in John chapter 11, and Lazarus is there in the tomb, and Christ comes and he basically says, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. So Lazarus comes forth and he's standing there, and there's an interesting kind of couple of phrases there. And he looks at him and he's like, get them grave clothes off. I remember sitting there, and it's just like a funny thought to me. And I'm like, well, what does that have to do with really the context of John chapter 11? Because you know what? He's alive.
Yes, sir.
And he smells like a dead man. Because he's rotten clothes are hanging on him. And those clothes, where do they belong? Back in the grave. And the Bible tells us, and I believe this relates, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians and Colossians, when we're talking about our new life and the new man, it says that we're supposed to put off. And it's interesting because that's an action. And I believe what we're talking about is our actions tonight. It's the Word of God. It's our relationship. It's all great to know. Man, look at the text. And you can have the family of texts right on. You can understand inspiration. You can understand preservation. You can understand God's hand. You can understand that this is God's book. But it doesn't do you any good unless you walk in it. And you live it. And that is the point of loving God's book. Let God's book free you as a Christian from those stupid sins that bind you. Because I think it's like Lazarus sitting there. He's alive. He was dead. And you stink. What in the world? Us as Christians, you know, some of us, we're alive, we're a new creature. You stink. Why? Because I'm allowing that old man to basically rule and reign. And the Bible says, God, David is praying and saying, let not iniquity have dominion over. Lord, do that work. You know, the Word of God can do a work in your life as a believer. He didn't save you to just live a mundane life. Christ said, I gave you life, and I gave it so that you can have it more abundantly. So live it. Live that abundant life. You know what's interesting? At the end of Romans chapter 8, what does it tell us? We can be more than conquerors. It's not saying that, you know what, I just, it was unbelievable. is having this battle. And I've seen people come up, and it's almost like a bragamony. And they're like, they almost kind of swagger. All right, younger people, you'd have no idea who John Wayne was, but they swagger up to the pulpit and like, no, I'm telling you all. This is what I'm telling you. And you're like, whoa. Like, you know, that bottle had me. And you're like, that just sounds weird. Because when I was just talking to you, you didn't talk like that. You know, all right, and all that. And they're up there and they're talking. And you know what normally happens? It could be a month. It could be a year. It could be 2 years. Yeah, they're not in church. You know why? Because they thought it was them. They thought it was their power. No, it's not. This is what I can tell you in studying the scripture. As you study the scripture more, you'll realize how worthless you are. Anything. I'm amazed that anything good can come from Steve Dearman. That is not a place to say amen again. All right, but it's not. And I'm just amazed. I'm like, what can God see? What can God use? Well, you know what he wants? He wants an empty vessel that he can fill with his spirit and his word. And what can happen when you allow that is amazing. In World War II, the U.S. Army assigned a recruit a rifle. He kept it throughout his whole training. It was called his piece. It became part of him. The recruit handled the piece continually, disassembled it, reassembled it. He cleaned it. He conducted basic maintenance. He carried it 12 hours a day, sometimes longer. His head might have gotten wet when crossing rivers or streams, but his piece had to stay dry. 6 months later, in the heat of battle, the soldier knew every inch of, guess what? His piece. Every mechanism. He understood things that could malfunction, how to remedy them. He could break it down and reassemble it in seconds. Blindfolded. Man and weapon had become synchronized and deadly. Efficient. The spiritual warrior is no different. I ask you, do you know your peace? In study hall in 10th grade, I had a teacher say, basically, here's your peace. And that has been my quest for decades now. And what amazes me, I get in that book, and I'm like, "You, I know you're not supposed to say, I never saw that before. But what's amazing with the Bible, I'm like, I never saw that before. Because this book is not like any other book. Everybody has tried to stop it. They've tried to burn it. All right, interesting story, and we'll close. If you look up the story of a man named Voltaire. Voltaire basically was a legend of his time, but there was something weird. He was brilliant, intellectual to the hilt. He was a brilliant man, but he hated the Bible. He thought that anybody basically that believed this or that was propagating this should basically not be involved in any education, and if he had his way, kill him. He wrote articles. He wrote so many things to destroy him, or to destroy anybody that promoted it and destroy the Bible. But this is what's interesting. In fact, you can look up, and he wrote letters, I believe, to the King of England, trying to hurt anybody that was trying to promote the Bible. He died, and they say he died a horrible death, screaming. And he lived in France. Within 50 years, they say, and you can look it up. Within 50 years, they say that the castle that he owned, because he was a very wealthy man, the castle that he was, that he lived in and owned, basically went into bankruptcy. And the British Bible Society bought it and started printing Bibles out of it. It's amazing. Because this book is a crushing hammer. if you're gonna try to win, ask Voltaire. And there's been other men that have tried. There's actually been men who were atheists who went to the Bible to prove it wrong, and they got saved. This book is an amazing book. But it's not going to do you good as a Christian here this evening unless you learn to love this book. Do you love his law? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all my day. Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening. May God help us to love his book. To love it more and let it do its work. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation time. We thank you for these folks. Thank you for their kindness, Lord, their patience and their willingness to learn. But Lord, if anything, I pray that we can encourage them to have a love for this old book. In Jesus' name.